Liberation Station Radio Show, the second hour, September 4th, 2022, every Sunday on Republic Broadcasting Network from 10 a.m. to noon Central, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Site is theliberationstation.com, and the chat room is chatty. You know, the Facebook live stream is going strong, facebook.com/republicbroadcasting, where I shared it soon after I, within a minute or two after I started it, originating at facebook.com/wearechange. So if you don't see it at the Republic Facebook page, then go over to facebook.com/wearechange. And so you can follow along. Sometimes when I cover certain articles, you can see the graphs, the charts, the videos, the interviews. But right now, this is just audio that we're playing and will continue to play of the last edition of the McCullough Report, which where Dr. Peter McCullough features an interview of himself and John Leake, his co-author, with The Courage to Face COVID-19. Site is CourageToFaceCOVID19.com. Pardon me, CourageToFaceCOVID.com. No 19, just CourageToFaceCOVID.com. And the interview is Roman Balmakoff of Facts Matter by the Epoch Times interviewing them. So we'll pick up with the last few minutes of that and carry on with the news and the show. If you'd like to reach us, the phone numbers are 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So Sam in the control room, making it sound so good, if you're ready, please continue to play that clip.
Busted, but they're certain of one thing, it's not due to the vaccine. How can they be so certain it's not due to the vaccine without knowing what they have?
Last question. So it seems like the phase of COVID is moving away. We'll probably live with the ramifications of everything that happened there, especially with a lot of the policies and what people accepted, and then, you know, the kind of further progression of our rights and liberties. The new thing is monkeypox, of course. The national emergency was enacted nationwide just yesterday by the Biden administration. What's your opinion on that?
We had a case of monkeypox at our center yesterday, and it was a 41-year-old woman, advanced untreated HIV. What we know now is that over the course of decades, there's been about 1,000 cases per year in the world coming out of the Congo Basin, spread from animals to human. Now there is human-to-human transfer, but it's well understood. Paper from by Thornhill and colleagues, New England Journal of Medicine, 98% of cases so far are among gay or bisexual men who are having sex, men with men. 98.5% of the transmission is by intense sexual contact. 41%, like this case, have HIV. We've had no deaths in the United States. There's been about 6 deaths worldwide out of 16,000 cases. Honestly, these numbers are similar to disseminated gonorrhea, similar to the current syphilis, similar to other sexually transmitted diseases. No reason to call for a medical or national emergency. No reason to have massive purchases of vaccines. We have a very safe and effective drug, which we're using here in Dallas, called TPOXX or Tecovirimat. It's very effective. The only reason why patients are hospitalized are for severe oral or anal pain. Otherwise, it's simply treated at home. It goes away. What's happened is this is being used as a tool for intentional fear-mongering and propagating this vaccine agenda. Remember, there hasn't been any emphasis on the drug, which is already available. The CDC has a national stockpile of it. All we hear about is vaccines. A vaccine, by the way, the Jynneos Bavarian Nordic vaccine, a live attenuated double-stranded DNA vaccine, has actually never proven to stop a case yet. It's only been approved based on antibody responses. And already, since it's been around for since 2018, we already have proven cases of heart damage with the new vaccine. So now we have young men getting this illness. We have an available oral drug, no need for a vaccine. And now we have a vaccine that poses heart damage with no proven benefits. And here we go again.
Is it difficult for a physician like yourself to actually speak out against the establishment, against the grain? I heard that there was a a case filed by the American Medical Board against you just a month and a half ago, right? So what kind of pushback are you getting? Maybe not aside from the big tech pushback, which is kind of ubiquitous. What about from the medical community?
I can tell you myself and then the leading doctors who have been the front line in treating SARS-CoV-2 infection and COVID-19, almost all of us receive letters from our boards, family medicine, internal medicine, others, announcing potential disciplinary action against us. And I can tell you, many of us, the reasons why this has come is because of our testimony under oath in the U.S. or state senates, where under oath we're giving our best appraisal of what's going on. We're answering questions. If anything should be immune from professional damage and reprisal, should be when we are called as citizens to give our analysis. And I can tell you, any doctor, nurse, patient, attorney, engineer now has been put on notice. We're under a dark, dark time of censorship, reprisal, and our civil liberties are being stripped from us very quickly.
Yeah, I'll just conclude, Roman, by saying I think it's important for your viewers to understand that public health, particularly pandemic response, it's a sort of Trojan horse. This will sound rather grand, but I believe the evidence supports it. It's a Trojan horse for a centralized global governance of humanity, a sort of governance by self-appointed pharmaceutical, high-tech, this we call it the biopharmaceutical complex. It's these international foundations who formed public-private partnerships with treasuries. They have friends in all the central banks of the world. It's a mechanism whereby you declare a worldwide emergency, kind of analogous to the financial crisis of 08, under the pressurized atmosphere of a world crisis. These guys present themselves as having the panacea. You guys, you dumbass leaders, heads of state, you're going to have to come talk to us in order to understand how to counter this, and you're going to have to give us a great deal of money. So you see, the role of treasuries and central banks and flowing what's called pandemic response funds to these self-appointed leaders or purported leaders of public health response or pandemic response. It's very out in the open. Any informed citizen can read the documents and look at the evidence to support this proposition. And we're seeing it happening again now with monkeypox.
If anybody wants to check out the book, we'll throw a link to it down into the description box below. And best of luck to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Roman Balmakoff on Facts Matter, Epoch Times. Dr. Peter McCullough, myself, and my co-author, John Leake of Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalizations and Deaths While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. You know, it's pretty rare that a
Oh, pardon me, folks. There you had it. Thanks to Peter McCullough giving the exit information. I just had myself on mute there. I think I was talking along. Thanks, Sam, for letting me know. Chris Steiner here with your Liberation Station radio show. That was, as you heard, Roman Balmakoff of Facts Matter by Epoch Times interviewing Dr. Peter McCullough and John Leake, authors of The Courage to Face COVID-19, CourageToFaceCovid.com. And I'm glad to see that their book is still getting a lot of publicity. I had a chance to skim through it, read the beginning of it at least, and the link that they provide on their website to an Amazon Kindle version. So if you don't want a hard copy, you want to read it on your system, on your device, then you can download the Kindle version a little less expensively. And if you could get clip number 3 there ready to play, Sam, we'll get into it. Okay, great. Then this is the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, September 1st, 2022. Again, their site is thehighwire.com. And this is going to take about a half hour, so I'm sure it's going to be chopped up by the commercials here. This is Jeffrey Jackson. We haven't had a chance to play so much of them lately, but they're spending a lot less time this show, a lot less time than ever on COVID shots in favor of covering other things like Hunter Biden's laptop, which has the World War III level implications, as I'll explain, with Ukraine and the corporate and government players over there. Talk about shadow banning. Climate change is the lame excuse to accept more lockdowns. The World Economic Forum, in their November 26, 2020 video, recruiting, at least at that date, saying that they'd recruited 110,000, quote, information volunteers, end quote. So I've never seen this play before. Maybe you haven't either, but it's part of the stream. It's going to be part of the live stream on video with Jeffrey Jackson playing that short little clip. And we'll relate it to some of the news, but I really am glad that they're getting into other issues. And if we have the time, I'll get into climate change, my take on it, my take on how to disagree with a climate change believer, or at least one who believes it's man-caused, anthropomorphogenic, and how you can build an alliance with them. And I've done it before, calling up to talk shows. And what greenhouse gas is the fairest of them all? I'll just leave it at that for now until we get into it. Hopefully I'll get into that on this show. Very important information. It depends on if you want to call, and if we have your calls are a priority, your call will be taken first. 512-248-8252, that's 512-248-8252, and toll-free 800-313-9443, that's 800-313-9443, and use that toll-free number only if your calling plan or your long distance doesn't allow you to call into the regular 512-248-8252 number. So now we'll play this. This is clip number 3. This is the September 1st edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. And most of, just about 98% of Jeffrey Jackson's appearance on the show. It was all so good, I decided to play it. So please go right ahead and play that clip, number 3.
It's time for the Jackson Report. All right, Jeffrey, you know, we're all pumped here. We're jumping up and down. You know, what's happening? You know, what is it we have to keep our eye on now as things are shifting so quickly?
The floodgates are open, Del. Let's just start it off. Going into the 2020 election, the final months of that election, we were told that, be on the lookout, Russia was going to interfere with the election here in this country.
Yeah.
Well, now, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg, we have more definitive proof, further confirmation that it wasn't Russia interfering, but our own government working to hide the one story that would have hurt Biden's chances in that election. Take a listen to this.
All right.
There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said, you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have, if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution has decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely...
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. But I mean, but basically, a lot of people were still able to share it. We got a lot of complaints that was the case. You know, obviously this is a hyper-political issue, so depending on what side of the political spectrum, you either think we didn't censor it enough or censored it way too much. But
right. But
we weren't sort of as black and white about it as Twitter. We just kind of thought, hey, look, if the FBI, which you know, I still view as a legitimate institution in this country, it's like very professional law enforcement, they come to us and tell us that we need to be on guard about something, then I want to take that seriously.
Did they specifically say you need to be on guard about that story?
I don't remember if it was that specifically, but it basically fit the pattern.
When something like that turns out to be real, is there regret for not having it evenly distributed and for throttling the distribution of that story?
What do you mean evenly distributed?
I mean evenly in that it's not suppressed. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks.
This is huge, Del.
It really is, you know, and we talked about this, right, you know, when this was first came out. And I remember, and I don't know if those in the audience have this same experience. So you just sort of go, we're so bludgeoned by so much outrageous news right now. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, as I started letting it sink in, I just thought, it's like every day I've sat with this, the bigger and bigger I realize this revelation is. I mean, this is like a Watergate. Watergate started out as this tiny little story, who would care whatsoever, some little break-in in a hotel room, and then it sort of takes on this partisan issue, but slowly but surely you start recognizing this is the collapse of the United States of America if we look the other way. As you pointed out, we were being told Russia was going to meddle with our election, and instead it's the FBI, our own government. Right. I mean, that's scary time, man. That's China. That's Russia. That's where you aren't having free elections anymore. Really, really outrageous. And I really got to, hats off to Joe Rogan, how he approaches these interviews. It's like, he's so soft about it, right? So Twitter was just doing this. Was Facebook doing anything like that? Oh, really? You know, and the way he stays so calm and just draws it out, just brilliant, outrageous.
Yeah, and so while Zuckerberg is censoring this story in, as he says, a meaningful way, it would be one thing. It's already outrageous by that statement alone. It was one of the biggest admissions of just naked censorship here by these tech platforms. It'd be one thing if the other side, the other balance of this conversation wasn't really speaking up, just kind of stepped back and said, okay, we'll let this story kind of wait until we see. That wasn't what it looked like, though, back then. Here's Rolling Stone on Twitter at the same time this was being censored. Vile, baseless conspiracy theories are spreading about Hunter Biden, and despite pledges to curb misinformation in the lead-up to the election, social media sites aren't stopping them. Oh, my gosh, please stop them. And then really the big story that chilled this whole thing out, knocked it out of the news feed, and gave fact-checkers the excuse to just really censor this thing hard was this story out of Politico. If people remember, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intelligence officials say. So now you have the FBI coming to Zuckerberg saying, you know, you might want to be on the lookout for this thing. But then you have the intelligence officials, the CIA, State Department, Department of Defense, all these ex-people coming together, 51 of them saying, in our experience, this is Russian disinformation.
I mean, literally your government getting a whole body of ex-government and CIA agents all together to push a lie on us.
Right. And forget about, you know, Project Mockingbird, where they used to embed people from the CIA within the media. This is just straight up in your face. So now it has come out that this laptop is real. New York Times even admits that. And a lot of the information on there is showing business dealings in Ukraine, in China, with, you know,
only the hotbed of the world at the moment now that Biden's president. Like, if you really thought, you know, is there anything going on there? I want the clearest, cleanest person dealing with these very tense situations in China that's threatening our own politicians, flying into Taiwan. We have a war in Ukraine now. And in this laptop, those two countries specifically are being discussed about business deals. I mean, come on. This is it's really shocking.
It's very interesting to note, too, those are the two countries that have been treated kind of, you know, nicely. Ukraine's getting billions of dollars of money. So mm-hmm. that's an interesting point. But is there a regret? Has there been regret from these intelligence officials? Have they changed their tune? Well, this was the headline in the New York Post in March of this year. Spies who lie, 51 intelligence experts refuse to apologize for discrediting true Hunter Biden story. And one of those intelligence officials, his name is Jeremy Bash. He's a former chief of staff to the director of the CIA, also chief of staff to the U.S. Secretary of Defense. And he has come out and actually been promoted for his work. And this is the headline here. MSNBC pundit who claimed Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation tapped for intelligence advisory board. This is under, obviously, the Biden administration. So he's getting a little bit of a better job now, getting out of the ranks of the media and MSNBC, and he's going right up to the White House. So this isn't the only thing that's happening, though. On the other side of the coin, we see some big movements now within the FBI. This is one of the headlines just recently. Top agent exits FBI amid charge of political bias undermining Hunter Biden probe, sources say. This was Timothy Thibault. He abruptly resigned after coming under congressional scrutiny. He was a senior official in the Bureau's Washington field office. So there's a lot of big shakeups happening right now in the FBI. And that's obviously a whole separate story to keep an eye on. But let's bring it back to the censorship piece. Why is this important? You know, did it really make a difference? Well, according to this headline, it made a big difference. This was, I believe, the New York Post. 79% say truthful coverage of Hunter Biden's laptop would have changed 2020 election. And that's where we're at in the United States right now. So that censorship has had that type of resonance with the consciousness of the population. But what's interesting about this...
Let's just be clear, just very quickly. Like, you know, New York Post has sort of been on one side as they try to push the story so they have a bias. But let's all take it in. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or anything, right now, just take it in for a second and think about how incredibly close this election was. The largest number of voters ever recorded. Let's just take all of the concerns about how the voting went down. This was a neck-and-neck run, and to think that something this big, a laptop with business dealings with one of the families, and we worry about a president somehow being compromised. We had this laptop that had images that if China had them or Ukraine had them, could that be used to manipulate a family? All of that should have been, you know, I think, in the purview of the public since it was out there and being reported on. Instead, it got shot down. I don't think you have to be rocket science. I don't think you need to be have a partisan perspective of this. I think we all know, damn well, that this story would have been devastating given the margins that we all watched take place there.
And what's interesting is as this censorship happens, even to this day, the effects of it are still not fully understood, meaning the censorship still has a far-reaching effect in some influential circles. Take a listen to this Bill Maher clip and listen to what he has to say.
So he's saying it's okay to have a conspiracy to get rid of somebody as bad as Trump. It's a little bit of a thorny question because once you go down this road, this is sort of where we are in this country. The other side is so evil, anything is justified in preventing them from taking office. Is it?
No. You know what's not justified? Using armed violence to try to kill people in the Capitol. That's not justified.
Answer this question. Huh? Answer this question. The question is, was it appropriate to bury the Hunter Biden?
You're talking about the press doing that?
He's saying that's what they did, and that is what they did. They buried the Hunter Biden story before the election because they were like, we can't risk having the election thrown to Trump. We'll tell them after the election.
And we know for a fact that that's what they did?
Of course.
You know for a fact that that's what they did? I don't know what they did.
I know, because you only watch MSNBC.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Well, then you would know about this.
I do know about that.
Well, you're acting like you know.
I do know about that, and I do watch Fox. But the point is, we're going to prove now that the press tried to...
They're admitting it.
The press is admitting it.
Yes, that's not even an issue anymore. They're saying, yes, we basically did this because we didn't want this to throw the election.
It's amazing. I just want to say to Bill Maher personally out there, bro, we have all been on this journey. I, too, was a loudmouth, progressive liberal. I have followed you for years, and I've watched how your intelligence and your ability to critically think is leading you down a very uncomfortable path. I want to thank you for the reporting you're doing, and I want to predict right now, I give you 365 days before you are definitely going to come out and say, just like Del Bigtree is, I am no longer a liberal. I do not align with progressive thought system the way I thought I did. Perhaps you'll say I'm politically maroon or I'm a libertarian, but everyone out there, mark my words, his days are numbered. You cannot start on this journey and watch the lies and deceit of any party you're a part of, that starts getting involved at this level where he's pointing out manipulation using media against the people for important stories. Nobody with a critical mind can handle that. And then you look at Rob Reiner, a guy who I used to love, certainly as an actor and all the great work he's done. But look how clueless he is. This is the biggest story in the country, and this is the problem, right? We're all living in such a thought bubble. The censorship is working. You know, the way that Facebook and the algorithms are keeping him from, Rob Reiner, from knowing what the hell is going on in the world as we know it.
Right. Creating low information individuals, you know, it becomes kind of dangerous because they have some levers of power that, you know, you may not want them to have at some point because they aren't fully informed.
Right.
But, you know, I remember back in the space in 2017 reporting, and the shadow banning, the word shadow banning came up, and it was kind of just this word that was created, and people were, it was like a phantom. Is this happening? Is it not? There's no admission from social media, but now that's all changed. Just give it a little while. It becomes fact. This is out of Vice magazine. This was the headline, how shadow banning went from a conspiracy theory to a selling point. And now they're bragging about this, and this is Meta. So Facebook
changes. I love it when Vice does things like, I'm sure they were the one of the ones calling us all conspiracy theories for talking about it, but now they're going to bravely go where no one's gone before and state what we've all been stating for a long time. Good for you, Vice. I love that you're always a day late and a dollar short.
Right. Reporting the best hypocrisy the world has known.
So yesteryear's news today.
We have Meta, which was Facebook, changed its name to Meta. And this was during COVID-19. This was kind of a list of their restrictions and what they would, how they would moderate their content. It says here, once a piece of content is rated false by fact checkers, we reduce its distribution and show warning labels with more context. So there's just the mainlining of this shadow banning.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, these factions within our governments are working to undermine the online conversation, to kill stories. We see foreign agents standing alongside of them with the same goals. Take a listen to this. This was a World Economic Forum. All roads continue to lead to the World Economic Forum, WEF. They're making decisions involving the direction of our country. So it looks like, you know, outside our borders, there's a major influence here. Take a look at what they had to say in this podcast.
Welcome to World vs. Virus, a podcast from the World Economic Forum that tries to make sense of the coronavirus pandemic. This week, fake news. We look at how misinformation has gone viral in the age of coronavirus and hear from the most senior communicator at the United Nations who wants you to be an ambassador for the truth.
So far, we recruited 110,000 information volunteers, kind of digital first responders.
And we hear from this entrepreneur who's worked at places including Twitter about a new startup which aims to equip those of us who consume the media, which is everybody, to navigate the Wild West of information.
If people cannot trust information about the critical challenges in our world today, whether it's coronavirus or climate change, then we cannot make reasoned decisions as a democracy.
You know, that was obviously all the way back in 2020, but it's that same agenda we're seeing. But boy, for all of you that have joined us recently, they've just, your friends have told you, you got to check out the High Wire. They've been like right on so much of this all the way along, and it's not really a political show, and we're not. And I don't mean for any of this to be political. We're stating the facts as we see them. It should bother anyone on any political aisle. But when we keep hearing, when we watch the.
All right, we'll pick this up when we get back. The last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, featuring Jeffrey Jackson, the reporter's regular appearance, September 1st, 2022 edition. This is Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner with you. Stay tuned for the final half hour.
Nobody ever in the thing you like. No, I'm missing pictures, young man. You express those rules when I was born.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone, yet everyone's on their own. Everything that I am, I adore. It's the reason the light's for. It's my heart that I need to be sure. Keep it pure.
Radio show every Sunday 10 a.m. to noon central, and we'll pick up where we left off on the last edition of the High Wire with Del Bigtree. Jeffrey Jackson's usual reportage, but this time far less on COVID, the COVID shots. And I'm not sure if you're Sam in the control room, if you read me where you left off, or if you want to tell me where you left off, or if I could tell you to pick it up at 46:25, 46, 24.
You know, doctors spreading misinformation lose their license. Here, 100,000 human beings lined up as an internet army to go after misinformation, and then you realize that we are literally in a revelation, a renaissance, if you will, understanding that all the misinformation we're talking about really was coming from our own governments, the CDC, the WHO. They're the ones that are slowly but surely having to admit that what they were providing was the misinformation. So where are we going from here?
Right. And you can see that apparatus being kind of constructed and populated by people like the World Economic Forum, yeah, United Nations. And so that is this apparatus that we've really been fighting against from day one of the COVID response, trying to get the real information out. But Del, just before we went on air, we have a breaking story. We'll bring it right back to present day here. This was the New Civil Liberties Alliance. This was their press release. New Civil Liberties Alliance suit uncovers army of federal bureaucrats coercing social media companies to censor speech. Now, the attorneys generals of Missouri and Louisiana joined the New Civil Liberties Alliance in this lawsuit. It says discovery has unveiled an army of federal censorship bureaucrats, including officials arrayed at the White House, HHS, DHS, CISA, the CDC, NIAID, the Office of the Surgeon General, the Census Bureau, the FDA, the FBI, the State Department, the Treasury Department, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. I was looking through some of these emails right before I went on air. I mean, people can start looking at these now. It's been released. But the CDC was having weekly meetings with Facebook talking about helping to debunk disinformation. That was actually the title of the email. So they're having weekly meetings. They're talking about having monthly meetings, talking about how to message VAERS. It's incredible what has just been released. So what has been released, you know, what started with Mark Zuckerberg, you know, yeah, about a week ago, has now just ballooned into a gigantic story. And remember, under the First Amendment, the federal government can't police private speech, and they can't pick winners and losers in this, right, you know, they call it marketplace of ideas. This is highly illegal, highly unconstitutional, and it's all breaking right now.
Wow, just incredible, really an incredible moment. And we could feel it coming. We brought our own lawsuits. We're investigating some new information, some FOIA requests to come through where we're seeing our name pop up at the CDC. We're not ready to deliver that to you yet because we're doing a deeper investigation. But I am sure there are groups like ours, news agencies, those of us that have been telling the truth, backing our information up as we do using the Highwire protocol, which is providing you with all the evidence we have so that you can fact check us, you yourself, with the evidence that's out there. You know, so many groups like ours, and it's great to see these lawsuits being brought by powerful groups. So really interesting. And I'm telling you, we definitely haven't heard the end of this. This is going to get to be, I believe, a pivotal moment. As I said, you know, when we look back at Nixon and Watergate, this feels, and it's about time, it's high time that we start seeing the level of investigations that really shifted the culture of America at that time. It's time for another wake-up call for our government.
Right. And this doublespeak of so many people grandstanding on this idea of saving our democracy, defending our democracy, while at the same time simultaneously defending and pushing government censorship of speech and media coercion of the speech. Over in the UK, there's a similar story happening. Another bombshell story is unfolding in the UK right now. Is a senior member of parliament, Rishi Sunak. He is actually in the running to replace Boris Johnson as prime minister. We'll know more about that in early September here. But he's come forward now and become the most senior whistleblower to blow the whistle on the COVID response. What happened behind the scenes in the UK? This is the headline here. This is where it started out. Sunak says it was a mistake to empower scientists during COVID pandemic. He did a sit down, a long format sit down with The Spectator. It's a magazine in the UK, and he kind of spilled the beans. This was the headline. Anybody wants to read this story? It's an amazing tell-all. The Lockdown Files, Rishi Sunak on what we weren't told. Listen to some of these quotes he has in here. A cost-benefit calculation, a basic requirement for pretty much every public health intervention, was never made. He says, I wasn't allowed to talk about the trade-offs, says Sunak. Ministers were briefed by number 10 on how to handle questions about the side effects of lockdown. The script was not to ever acknowledge them. The script was, oh, there's no trade-off because doing this for our health is good for our economy. And so
he talks about in here SAGE. That's the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies. And what they are is this outside group. It's kind of like the FDA's VRBPAC group in a way. They're not fully transparent. You know, some people you know who's in there, some people you don't know who's in there, but they have extreme sway on the government. They'll come to the government and they say, our scientists, our group here, this independent group has gamed three scenarios, and this scenario has this science behind it and this potential outcome and this one, this potential outcome, and then ministers can decide what direction the government goes. So the SAGE units, and then also these things called nudge units, these work together behind the scenes to really influence how the UK directed the lockdown response. So this is what Sunak had to say about that, about those groups. He says, typically, he said, ministers would be shown SAGE analysis pointing to horrifying scenarios that would come to pass if Britain did not impose or extend lockdowns. But even he, as chancellor, could not find out how these all-important scenarios had been calculated. So again, completely left in the dark, one of the top power people in the UK can't even get answers to why they're extending lockdowns. And listen to this final quote here. He says this, "I was like, summarize for me the key assumptions on one page with a bunch of sensitivities and rationale for each one," Sunak says. "In the first year, I could never get this. The Treasury," he says, "would never recommend policy based on unexplained modeling. He regarded this as a matter of basic competence. But for a year, UK government policy and the fate of millions was being decided by half-explained graphs cooked up by outside academics. This is this outside influence on the government, and not even the government itself can get straightforward answers or transparency. Unbelievable."
Wow. I mean, it's what's amazing is, and this is why I love being an international show, and for all of you in the UK, this may be your Watergate moment, right? You're now starting to see politicians stepping out and saying, "I've basically been handcuffed and gagged inside of the government here. I wasn't allowed to get to the truth for you. Things need to change." And, you know, hopefully we see those people that have been transparent, the Ron Johnsons and the DeSantises and those in our government, those that have been correct and right and fighting for humanity and transparency. We need to see them rise up. And then it gets back to the government, as I said at the top of the show, that I believe in. The best should rise. The truthful should rise. Those that weren't afraid to go against the status quo when it didn't make any sense.
And for those of you watching who are wondering why we're transitioning sort of into the spaces of the climate conversation, rising energy prices, right, soaring food prices, things like this, we have to understand what we're laying out here, this evidence we're laying out here. This is the same apparatus, this same overlay is being used to steer the conversation, to steer the science surrounding these debates, and to drive the new restrictions that we're seeing. So even in February of this year, you could see the prepositioning. This was in The Hill. This was the headline. "Coming soon, climate lockdowns." Now, there's a question mark there. Excuse me. But that's the prepositioning.
Right.
And now we have the current headlines out of the European Union. We've reported on that. They're being hit very hard with energy restrictions. EU crisis chief calls for more power to fight climate impacts. Over in France, we have this Great Reset. French government to recruit 3,000 green police over climate change. And so this conversation around climate change, the science, it's been in question for quite some time. 2014, there was a study looking at kind of the information surrounding this and how it's been presented. And even back then, the researchers in this article say, "It appears that news media and some pro-environmental organizations have the tendency to accentuate or even exaggerate the damage caused by climate change. We find that the information manipulation has an instrumental value, meaning it can drive policy." And that was in 2014, and that was way before this apparatus has been built. Now we have a very dangerous public health and science apparatus that can steer, using outside organizations, the conversation and really the fate of millions of people in these directions. One of those in the UK was the Nudge Unit. And the Nudge Unit was used. These were basically psychologically manipulated the public using
fear. It's basically
fear.
What it sounds like, right? Nudging humanity in the direction that we need them to go. I mean, it's kind of gross that they would call themselves that. Right? It's like nudging you off a cliff. I feel like I'm standing waiting for a subway and I just get nudged onto the train tracks. Oh, thank you very much. Was that my government that just did that?
Yeah, it's kind of a dirty, unsavory little situation. I mean, these are behavioral scientists that are brought in to find the best way to nudge people into accepting lockdowns, accepting masking, accepting things they don't really want to accept. And remember last year we reported on this. After they saw what was done with their information, they came out and said that was a big mistake. They used too much fear. And this was the headline. We covered this several times in the show, but it's worth mentioning again. Use of fear to control behavior in COVID crisis was totalitarian, admits scientists. A woman named Laura Dodsworth, she's a writer, she's a filmmaker in the UK. She has written a book. The whistleblowers in these nudge units came to her and spilled the beans, so to speak. She wrote a book called State of Fear, How the UK Government Weaponized Fear During the COVID-19 Pandemic. And it's interesting to look at the trajectory because obviously, that was a big concern for her. She heard the stories of these scientists, and she was concerned as well about this apparatus that was being built. Let's check in with her just recently. What is she concerned about now? Take a listen.
I want to say something else about extending this scrutiny beyond COVID. Back in 2011, not long after the inception of the Nudge Unit, the Science and Technology Committee noted that there were serious ethical concerns with governments deploying behavioural science, because what that effectively does is change people's behaviour in ways in which they're not aware. There has been no public consultation. There is no public mandate. There is no public permission. When we were frightened in order to comply with the rules, and when nudge is deployed continually from COVID to climate change, it is without the public's consent and consultation.
Do you think this will now be the start of the unravelling of lockdown and people looking into it now that Rishi has broken cover?
I think absolutely. And actually, I think it's going to generate, hopefully, a lot more honesty about the damages of lockdown. It's going to be pretty difficult to avoid with the inflation where it is. But like I say, it's really important to not just to not assume this only happened with COVID. It's happening right now with nudging the public towards net zero goals. We have to be honest about this. The same tools are being deployed. You know, we're living in a world now where everything's color-coded to let us know whether we're on an amber warning or a red warning. There are reports jointly authored by broadcasters and the Nudge Unit about how to change people's behavior without them even being aware through TV programming. This has now become really insidious within government, and I really don't think it's any way to run a country, to nudge the population, and especially to frighten them into following unpopular policies.
Wow. I mean, I love it when you start seeing other news agencies that sound like the high wire. This is important. We are going to move. We're stretching our wings here on the high wire to go. And I've said it from the beginning, Jeffrey, and this is sort of, you know, our creed with each other, which was we're going to go where curiosity takes us, where our questions lead us. And though we started this journey together really in the vaccine space, now, as you said, it's these same apparatus that have been built, structured, not just for this vaccine discussion and the oppression of humanity through, you know, medical means. In many ways, it's going to be food and energy and all of these things. And so we are going to move our, you know, investigations where they're needed. And you are doing such a brilliant job taking us there, Jeffrey. I'm so thankful to have you on the team. And amazing reporting this week as we talk about the unraveling of government corruptions around the world. Really, really powerful stuff.
Thank you, Dell. And I do believe the biggest stories of our lifetimes are yet to come. So yeah. I look forward to staying.
And that's it for the Jackson Report on the High Wire with Dell Bigtree this past September 1st, 2022. And as promised, I will now get into the how to persuade someone who believes in anthropomorphic or mostly man-made climate change and persuade them about, well, CO2. What is the impact of CO2? Well, there are other greenhouse gases, and I'm just going on the presumption, for the sake of argument, that CO2 or other greenhouse gases are causing the warming of the planet. So let's just presume that, for the sake of argument, as will be the practice of this exercise, and I'll show here on screen from the EPA's website, greenhouse gases. EPA.gov overview of greenhouse gases is the name of this page. And it shows that carbon dioxide has a whopping 79% share of greenhouse gases. Then there's methane's 11%, nitrous oxide 7%, and the least is fluorinated gases, that 3%. Now, for some reason, they don't mention water vapor, which is, some think, the most impactful greenhouse gas, if you believe in such a thing. So, for the sake of argument, let's just go with the EPA's data. This is pre-Trump. This is going back to Obama. It was when I discovered this in 2013. And the data for the CO2 has gone down. If you want to check out archive.org and plug this webpage into archive.org, you'll find that it used to be, in 2013, it used to be 83% CO2. Now it's 79%. So let's, now that we got those greenhouse gases out of the way, let's point out that these fluorinated gases are indeed the most impactful, even though they're the least abundant at 3%. According to the EPA's website, it reads hydrofluorinated gases, hydrofluorocarbons, perfluorocarbons, sulfur hexafluoride, and nitrogen trifluoride are synthetic, powerful greenhouse gases that are emitted from a variety of industrial processes. Fluorinated gases are sometimes used as substitutes for stratospheric ozone-depleting substances. For example, chlorofluorocarbons, which you might have heard from your aerosol cans, your hairspray cans, depleting the ozone layer. Then there's hydrofluorocarbons and halons. These gases are typically emitted in smaller quantities, but because they are potent greenhouse gases, they are sometimes referred to as high global warming potential gases. And so, when you look at the EPA's website for these various greenhouse gases, fluorinated gases have a global warming potential in the thousands to tens of thousands, as you see on screen here. As I'll continue reading, with global warming potentials that typically range from thousands to tens of thousands, they are sometimes referred to as high global warming potential gases because for a given amount of mass, they trap substantially more heat than CO2, which has a global warming potential of 1. And so when you take CO2's 79% divided by fluorinated gases 3% comes out to 26.33%. So that means that CO2 is 26.33 times more abundant in the atmosphere than fluorinated gases. Now, if you look at the global warming potential, that's in the thousands to tens of thousands. 26.33 is far less than thousands to tens of thousands. And yet, when did you last hear of keeping an eye out for our fluorinated gas footprint? Well, that's probably because it's mostly industry, like big phosphate making fertilizer, like Mosaic Phosphate Mining Company here in Florida, makers of refrigerants. They're the ones with the big fluorinated gas footprint. So, you know, who other than big phosphate or these refrigerant manufacturers would disagree that the priority is to start by ending phosphate industries currently unmonitored, because the EPA and neither the EPA nor the Florida Department of Environmental Protection monitor or regulate emissions of phosphate mining companies and monitor their emissions of deadly fluorinated gases into our atmosphere and their fluorinated or other deadly waste discharge into our waterways. Who would disagree with that other than those big industries? Of course, progressives are in agreement that they should not be allowed to have monopolies and destroy our environment. Why would anyone be so concerned about CO2, a necessary nutrient for plants that, unlike fluorinated gases, the EPA says is not the most impactful on global warming, is not the most persistent greenhouse gas, meaning the chemical breaks down much more slowly, takes much more time. And it isn't the only exclusively synthetic greenhouse gas. It isn't the most deadly of them all, which are, of course, fluorinated gases. So on this, we should be able to agree with the environmentalists and point out that while we may not agree on what's causing global warming, if you want to believe that there is global warming, look at the ice core samples and the tree ring samples. I will point out that the warming follows, the CO2 rise follows about 300 or 400 years, according to those ice core samples and tree ring samples. And we don't have any idea of, we don't have little meters on the underwater sea vents and volcanoes, so we have no idea how much nature is contributing. Of course, as I mentioned, how much phosphate mining companies are contributing to the emissions of fluorinated gases and other toxins. Of course, they have water scrubbers. But we should all be able to agree that if you want to stop fluorinated gases, whether it be from a global warming halting perspective or from, hey, I just want to clean up the environment from something that destroys our endocrine system, the fluorine that becomes fluoride when it binds with another mineral, because fluorines are so electron needy, they readily bind with other minerals like our bones and cause fluorosis of the skeletal fluorosis. Terrible cases you'll see online of people's bones bowing out. Dental fluorosis, where the teeth are mottled, white spots to dark spots, they decay a lot more quickly. They're more brittle. And so I want to stop fluorinated gases. And I don't care whether it's from a perspective of stopping global warming or stopping the deadly toxin, the most deadly alleged greenhouse gas of them all. So what is the fairest greenhouse gas of them all? CO2. And the others have toxicities as well. The methane, the nitrous oxide. Now let's see if I have a moment here to get into final article. This is from Alex Berenson's Substack, More Frightening News About Fertility and the mRNA Shots, this time from Singapore. And births are plunging exactly on schedule 9 months after mass COVID vaccinations. Alex Berenson of Substack.com, who, by the way, fortunately won his case against Twitter, having his account reinstated. This article is dated September 1st. Don't have the time to read it all, but it goes into Singapore and that the age stratification showing that children are, people are losing fertility to bear children. And then there's also the story at Steve Kirsch's Substack about how Israel's Ministry of Health, in video that was leaked out, don't have the time to cover that, how they knew how dangerous the thoughts were. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Liberation Station Radio Show, take what you heard, everyone teach one. This is Chris Steiner. The site is theliberationstation.com. Until next time, Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon Central. All take great care.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.